Yeah, it's Outside the Box. Trippin' out. Woohoo! Today's topic is spacey. I'm worried that some necessary federal government programs like education, healthcare, childcare, and even Social Security might get significantly cut under a new administration. However, one budget item I would not mind being cut is the U.S. space program, especially satellite and space exploration activities. At the end of 2019, the U.S. Space Force was created, a somewhat separate branch of the military, but part of the Department of the Air Force. The Space Force is not connected to NASA, National Aeronautics and Space Administration, but the two are probably mixing together, with some civilian roles for NASA being combined with the Space Force. Space has become a testing opportunity for military uses for civilian technology, such as communication satellites, both in the U.S. and worldwide. Satellites are often used not just for communications, but also for warfighting and spying on another country. For example, by both Russia and Ukraine in their conflict, and by Israel and Hamas in Gaza. The satellites enable users to more accurately target opponents. The kill ratio is higher. They can also control drone attacks, which are becoming much more accurate in these wars. The more U.S. satellites and drones are used on the battlefield, the more deadly they become. Drones, satellites, and planes are all used for surveillance and spying against enemy countries and for targeted killings, especially by Israel, against Palestinians and other Arabs. On the other hand, they're also used to jam signals, thus canceling out some of the information obtained by this equipment. Cyber attacks have also been used to scramble information that more accurately target missile attacks, especially by Ukraine and Israel. Even with some countering electronic equipment, it seems that satellites and drones are no longer for civilian use, but primarily a big part of the current war machine. In addition to government-owned technology, Israel and Ukraine are using private companies for war fighting, especially Elon Musk's Starlink equipment. I would be happy if the Space Force disappeared and technology was less efficient at carrying out successful assassinations. I doubt that the civilian space program will be on the chopping block either, though, although I see no point to it. Trying to settle people on Mars or even the moon seems like a complete folly, a waste of money and effort. How would you maintain a settlement on even the moon, let alone Mars? Food and water supplies would need to be shipped in. Air supply? Who would want to live there? No decent restaurants or concert halls. Maybe some would like a weekend trip, but then you need some infrastructure for visitors. Having astronauts land on the moon was a feat. But what do you do for an encore? If someone landed on the moon and claimed it for their country, they should be socked with a huge property tax bill to discourage them from thinking they can do what they want with it. But they can't do that anyway, according to the 1967 Outer Space Treaty, which prohibits any country from claiming ownership of any celestial body. Pretty dumb. However, individuals have claimed ownership and even sold plots of land. Even dumber for anyone who bought a plot. One real estate company claims to have sold 611 million acres of the moon. And Buy Planet Mars offers 10 acres of land for just $49.99. I wonder what the Brooklyn Bridge is going for these days. But seriously, the main spaceport complex is an attempt by private companies to use Down East Maine as a site for launching rockets to the moon or another planet. Two main space conferences have also been held. There might be an attraction to space travel itself for some people, but it's an awfully expensive and energy-intensive kind of hobby, not one to be encouraged. Would you want to go to the moon? Why? I'm Larry Danziger. Happy staying right where I am.